Blog Talk Radio.
Quarterback of all time, if you ask anybody, in New England goes down, and it feels so good to be back here on air at Satellite Sundays, the brand new show for the Overtime Sports News Network. Joining me, Chris McGuigan, your host. You're here with Dustin Bork. Arlanis is in. Jason's going to be joining us. Maybe we'll see Wade. It is brand spanking new, baby, on Sunday nights. And how's everybody feeling tonight? You guys all feeling good? We got great pop culture and sports topics coming up.
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you, Arlanis?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great, especially after that
beautiful night.
Ooh, that was one hell of a game.
Now, Dustin, I know that we got a new format coming up, and it is pop culture along with sports now, but we were gonna start this show off with our quote-unquote Super Bowl predictions. Show was supposed to be earlier on in the day. It got bumped back a little bit. But you know what? It's beautiful. It's Sunday night. It's a beautiful thing. And we already know one matchup. We know one matchup for the Super Bowl, and the Denver Broncos are in it. So for those of you who may have missed this game, Tom Brady was sacked 9 times. He was knocked down 14 times. He threw 2 interceptions, and he was still Brady being Brady. Within the last minute of the game, he drives down, throws the touchdown to Gronkowski. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Tom Brady being Tom Brady. Did not get the 2-point conversion. He was hurried and rushed again by Von Miller. Peyton Manning comes in, takes that glorious knee, and the Patriots, for seemingly the first time ever, I mean, I know it's not, but it seems like it, not in the Super Bowl. And I know that made my night. I know it made Dustin's night. Arlanis, I don't know if you care that much, but right now, at least when I turned the show on, I don't have the score in front of me, it was 17-0 Carolina. So right now it looks like it's going to be Denver-Carolina, which is really what I think a lot of people didn't think. They thought it was going to be New England and Carolina. What are you guys thinking for this Carolina-Arizona game? Do the Redbirds have a comeback in them, or is this going to be a Cam Newton show?
I'm going to be honest. I'm happy for Peyton, right? I'm happy, and then just as quick, I'm so sad for him because he is going to be going against, in, like, I think the last two Super Bowl appearances, some of the toughest defenses you could ever imagine. That game that he got the crap kicked out of him by Seattle when Legion of Boom was playing at their best.
43-8 or something like that, yeah.
And now you're telling me he gets to go against the freaking Carolina Panthers. I mean, let's just for the sake of argument say Arizona comes back. They get a hell of a defense too. So this guy can't catch a break. He's always going up against like all pro top 5 defenses. He's got one in his own, but this poor guy, You know, I feel so bad for him. You got Eli, who gets to win two Super Bowls against the same team, and each time the team that he's played has been kind of like, you know, decimated by injuries. But Peyton, every damn time he gets to the Super Bowl, he's got like a mountain to overcome, except for that one against Chicago that he won. But the problem is when he won against Chicago, they were a good defense too. They just had Rex Grossman and no offense. My biggest point is this poor guy is going to have to go against Carolina that has an offense and that defense. So the pressure on Peyton to produce and constantly keep Denver up 7 points is going to be so great. And I feel bad that he's going to have to do this at 40, because I don't know if he busted his nut this round, kind of like the Jets all those years ago when they knocked out New England and then got the crap kicked out of him in the conference championship, because that game against New England was their Super Bowl. So I'm just hoping he's got enough in the tank. I'm hoping his team can rally around him and really send this guy off in the sunset the right way. What do you think, Arlen?
Honestly, I'm just sad because I wanted the Patriots to go.
You did? Why?
I was rooting for it all the way.
A New Yorker rooting for the Patriots. May I ask
you
why?
I know. I like the Patriots, really. And I look, Julian Edelman, I love him.
Okay, all right. I mean, Julian Edelman is a nice-looking guy. He's only about 5'6", but he's not a bad-looking guy. Arlenas, let me ask you then, do you have any interest, any love affair at all with this Carolina-Arizona game? Because to me, I'm sort of like with Dustin. We had talked about a little bit off air. We want Peyton Manning to kind of ride off into the sunset with the final championship and then hang up the boots. I want Larry Fitzgerald to get a ring. I think he more than deserves it. He's been a top 10 receiver in this league for a decade. He's been on bad teams up until the one Super Bowl team. And with Kurt Warner, and then they've been steady until now. But he's never had the chance. And I think Larry Fitzgerald is the guy who deserves it as well. But I like to see old-school smash-mouth defense as well. And Carolina, you know, does that. So I don't really care who wins that game. But Arlene, do you have any interest in that game at all?
Well, it would be nice if, Allen gets the win and then retire. But, you know, I'll watch and see who wins. I really not interested in anyone.
I hear you. No problem. We got Jason just joined us up. Jason Cordonaire, how are you, my brother?
I'm good. What's going on, everybody?
Oh, we're good. It's Satellite Sundays finally online here on the Overtime Sports News Network. We took a quick break. Well, it wasn't really quick. It was a couple of months, but we had to collect ourselves, get the site going. Site is pumping right now, rocking and rolling. We're back here on air, back here doing what we do best. And that's bringing entertainment to y'all. We got a lot of pop culture and some sports to get to. But, Jason, now that you're with us, as you know, Olympus has fallen. The Patriots are done. Tom Brady is down 3 picks, 9 sacks, 14 hurry-ups. Peyton Manning, 2 touchdowns, however many yards. He didn't do much, but he did enough. We know that the Broncos are in it. Who are you taking in this game, which is getting rather lopsided in Carolina?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to co-sign what Dustin was saying earlier. I feel bad for Brady because now it's going to be a resemblance of the last Super Bowl he was in, but only this time he's going up against a better quarterback in Cam. Because let's face it, this NFC Championship game is over. It's over. I'm calling it now. It will be the Panthers in the Super Bowl. It's Cam's Super Bowl to lose, and we're about to see the passing of a torch, you must say. We're going to see the old man, Peyton Manning, take a beating. I hate to say it, but that's what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. And Cam is going to start. He's going to start the next tier of quarterbacks. We're more so Russell Wilson. I was going to say Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl, but it really was heavily on his bench. Whereas Cam is going to play in the Super Bowl, and it pretty much was all on his shoulders.
He's got a pretty darn good defense, too. But do you think, Jason, you said passing of the torch. You bring up an interesting point. Do you feel that perhaps this is the old-school Peyton Manning quarterback, the three-step drop and throw the ball, mobile, statue in the pocket quarterback, perhaps passing the torch to what is appearing to be more and more the new breed of quarterback, the triple-threat quarterback who can run, who can pass. I mean, he can do everything. And he could even play defense, guys the size of a fullback. So, I mean, do you think that perhaps with Peyton sort of stepping away, Brady fading into the twilight of his career, although he says he's not, that, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers, who's a little younger than them, Cam Newton now, Russell Wilson, I'll even throw Romo into the mix because of the mobility. Do you feel that kind of mobile spin around in the pocket and make crazy play type quarterback is now becoming the new thing in the NFL?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because think about it, no one's dropping back throwing 50 yards unless you're Aaron Rodgers anymore. Everybody's pretty much relying on their the IQ, the arm accuracy, and I would say just their legs.
True. You know, you see that more and more, and obviously legs is not something that, you know, we don't put that word in a sentence with Peyton Manning very often. Neither with Tom Brady either, and they showed you today, if you watched any of that game, when he gets under pressure and you even breathe on him, you can take him completely out of his element. He had one run that was relatively long. He got the first down, but that's really about it. Brady, the extent of his running is 3 to 5 yards. He does that little quarterback sneak thing, but that's about it. But enough about the Patriots, because they're out, they're done, they're cooked, they're toast. We've got a little bit of Cam Newton, so you think it's going to be Panthers and Broncos. I'm pretty sure, Dustin, is that what you're resigning to? You think the Panthers are going to end up, you know, sealing a deal here and not allowing a Carson Palmer comeback?
Well, the funny thing is, I'm sitting there last week watching the Cardinals game, okay, with the wife. She couldn't believe. She thought Carson Palmer was trying to throw the game. My wife followed football for all of 2 years and just won her first fantasy football championship the first year she played. She knows so little about football, but sat down and was watching the game with me and saw his body language as he almost threw 3 interceptions to close that game out to barely win. And then eventually, who took over? Larry Fitzgerald's like, fuck this, or F this, and I'm gonna take this over. You're not taking this game away from me. I'm sick of losing. And made it so Carson Palmer won that game. He almost threw 3 interceptions, Chris, to close that game out that would have given them a chance to lose that game. I think there's no chance. I second what Jason said. This game is over. There isn't a single hero on Arizona that can pull them out of the hole they are now in. And does anybody have a live score on that? Do we know if it's still 17-0 or has it gone up?
No, it's 17-7.
It's 23-7. 23-7, Carolina.
23? Okay. I literally looked at it before Dustin started talking, and it was 17-7. Okay, so 23-7 going into half.
So, again, there's 5 minutes left. Second quarter, and it's what you said. It's 23-7. So, are you sure? It's because it's either maybe ESPN's late to update, but it still looks like 4th and 3, 17-7, Carolina ball.
Nah, Carolina scored.
It's 24-7. It's 20 on the NFL mobile.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go, folks. There's ESPN for you.
good old ESPN.
So anyways, I think that game's over. I mean, nothing's ever over until it's over. I mean, until you got like a 3-possession lead going into the fourth quarter, I think you're still at risk of blowing it. I mean, look at last week, right? They were up 30 points against Seattle, and then they let Seattle back in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were up 31-0 and only won by, 4, I believe? So it was, but here's the thing. Seattle has a way of doing that. Seattle is never counted out of a game until the 000s hit the scoreboard. And it seems like I think Carolina learned their lesson. They kind of came off the gas a little bit and allowed them into that game. And now I don't think they're going to do that against Arizona, because you look at Arizona's defense, what they've done to Aaron Rodgers now twice. They know that this Arizona team's got a lot of firepower. I don't think that they're going to do that regarding them. So Dustin, I think, believes it's going to be Carolina. Jason believes it's going to be Carolina. I said Carolina from the beginning of the playoffs was going to be in it. And last one before we move on to the next topic, which is basketball, and it's a good one. Trust me, Arlenas, Carolina, Arizona.
Panthers,
okay. And last one, I'm just going to get a one-word answer from all you guys. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Panthers.
Okay. So Cam Newton, it's a team game, Jason, but okay, I got you. Dustin, how about you?
I'm going to be I'm going to be the guy that goes against the grain, and I think that Peyton's had such a sour taste in his mouth since Seattle. He's going to prepare for this just like he did with Seattle, but I think finally the team around him is going to come and help him out. You got a guy like DeMarcus Ware that you didn't have versus Seattle. You got
and Von Miller.
You have game changers, and maybe Demaryius Thomas will be able to step up. Maybe this running game will be able to step up. It's never over until it's over. And
true.
Peyton Manning's one of the greatest football minds in the game today. If anybody can crack a great defensive code, it's Peyton. But it remains to be seen. My biggest saying is, would you bet your house on it? No. If I had to bet my house, the keys to my home, I'm picking the Panthers. But for the sake of the debate, I'm gonna say Peyton, just because I really want him to win one and then ride off into the sunset.
So I will join Dustin in that.
I just want to add one thing.
Sure.
I just want to add one thing. Wade Phillips called a great defensive game today. That I don't think a lot of people are going to give him the credit, but he really called a great defensive game plan to neutralize Tom Brady and take away his weapons.
Thanks, Wade. Where was that when you were in Dallas? I'm going to go against the grain as well. I'm going to join up with Dustin. I think Denver will find a way to get it done. Something in me tells me this is a special season for them. The emotion that they played with today and everything. I definitely feel like
can we take a second and also think about every Super Bowl DVD you ever watch, right? There's that there's that highlight DVD that kind of goes over the season. And oftentimes, like last year, the Patriots DVD, there was a moment where they got the crap kicked out of them by the Chiefs, and everybody wrote them off, right? And that was the moment in the DVD you got goosebumps, and you're like, they're collecting themselves, they're moving forward. Are you telling me the moment that Peyton Manning got lost his job to Osweiler or whatever his name is, and then he comes in, beats New England, and then Peyton gets his job back, you're going to tell me that's not the greatest theater in the sport this year?
It's got to be. And Peyton coming back and taking the job back from the young kid who was successful and was winning games, and then riding off, like you said, into the sunset, that would be a great NFL Films thing down the road, for sure. More so than Cam Newton and the dancing, you know, future playing, you know, hip hop crowd in Carolina who likes to smile and dance. I definitely think that this is, like Jason mentioned, passing of the torch. This is the final chapter. The book closes after this. Carolina can then win it next year with their new style of offense that they run. And Cam Newton Cam Newton is like my age. So, I mean, he's got plenty of time left. So he can, you know, he can definitely win a couple in his career. This is the last shot for Peyton. And I definitely think that Peyton will finally get it done. He'll finish with two rings with two different teams, and I think he'll do it. He might not be the factor. It might be the defense. It might be the running game. But I think he will get it done. I'm hoping he will anyway. I don't know if he will, but I'm hoping. Moving on here, I know you guys are basketball fans. Well, most of us are anyway.
Oh,
this Golden State team that everybody raves about, Steph Curry and Splash City and the whole thing, who just went out and beat the Cavs by darn near 50 on the Cavs' home floor the other night, which got David Blatt fired, by the way. This team that everyone talks about might be unbeatable. It might be better than that Spurs team that went on the run, and this is the best team we've seen in years, and blah, 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 blah. I posed a question to you, and I'll let you answer in order. I'll start with Arlena's first because she's talked the least, and then we'll go Jason, Dustin. Would this current Golden State team win in a seven-game series? Because anybody can take one game at any time. Win in a seven-game series against that mid-90s Bulls team that had Pippen and Rodman and Steve Kerr, who's their coach, and, you know, Rod Cartwright and Dennis Rodman and those teams that won the six championships in the 90s. Would this team win a best-of-seven series against that team? Why or why not?
I think they will, because they have the best thing is they young and they are really inspired and they really want to win, and that's really important. And I think I don't really watch them that much, but it looks like the team is really united and they're going all for it. I think that's good.
Good bench production and everything too. I hear you. How about you, Jason?
I don't think the Warriors would even stand. They would get swept by the Bulls. I just want to put that out there. They would get swept by the 90s Bulls. And I'm going to give you 3 points. One,
okay.
Jordan actually, not only was he great offensively, but people underestimate how great a defensive player he was. Let alone you had Rodman. You had Pippen, who was also great defensively. You had Ron Harper, who was a 6'8 point guard. I mean, the Bulls had the length. They had the defensive prowess. They had Michael Jordan. They had the cerebral assassin himself. And they had Phil Jackson. Everything Steve Kerr learned from was, and then we got to talk about Steve Kerr. He would be on that 90s team. So I definitely say I would give the edge to the Bulls. I think the Warriors are a good story right now. The problem with the Warriors is they have pretty much watered down the league. The league is too friendly, and their only threat is the Spurs, who they haven't played yet. Keep in mind, everybody's talking about them trying to beat the Bulls' record, but they still have 4 games against the Spurs this season. I'm going to throw that out there.
Okay, fair enough. I have very valid points from Jason. How about you, Dustin?
All right, I got something for you guys first. I want to lead off with this.
Oh, man, you kidding me, right? That Bulls team will kill this little team.
Right.
Come on, man. Who's going to guard Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan? What about Dennis Rodman? Come on, man.
I know
we live in the moment. First of all, let me tell you something. These guys ain't won a championship yet. I still like the Spurs, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I do. I still like the Spurs to win the championship this year. I'm telling you, don't just because these guys are beating up on inferior competition, don't overreact now.
Dustin, that clip was terrible. It was terrible.
Terrible. So that's Barkley. Obviously, we know he's outspoken, but he always brings up a lot of great points, usually. Usually, he's one of those guys that brings up very interesting, like, ooh, good call, stuff you don't think of. And listen, I mean, for anybody, I'm an old school guy, so I'm the wrong person to ask this question to because I'm not going to side with the new stuff. I was a guy that when I played basketball, I could go 9 out of 10 at the elbows. I always took mid-range jumpers. I could not shoot a 3 if my life depended on it. The shooting guard did. I was a wing player. So my point is I was a cut-to-the-basket guy. I was a dirty work guy, did the rebounding, played defense, ran the floor fast, and I was always available in transition. I don't like this. We got a fast break, and let's pull up for 3. The only guy I ever liked doing that was Chauncey Big Shot Billups because he could make it look decent, and it was always on the right time. I've seen way too many fast breaks where they pull up for a 3 and then it doesn't go in. Like, yeah, all right, I get it. Curry's one of the greatest shooters, and Klay Thompson's he's not that shabby either. But the fact is, guys, I agree with the other comment that was said about them by their former coach. They're ruining basketball. It's sad. They're literally ruining basketball. You have a team like the San Antonio Spurs that is like poetry to watch them move the ball. And is there a single young kid nowadays that thinks that's cool? No. They want to go watch Steph Curry do his little dribbling drills as he warms up and then huck up underhanded bowling shots from half court. Like, who does that? I did that
it's
stuff
because
we used to have half court shootout competitions once a year at the end of our basketball season. That's why I did one every game, but I certainly wasn't warming up with 10 of them a game and shooting from the tunnel. Like, we get it. You know, you got range, guy. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, if you had to go up against a physical Chicago Bulls team, this is a bunch of prep school kids that don't weigh more than 111 pounds soaking wet, playing against a bunch of men, all right, that are built. Dennis Rodman was the first LeBron James. People don't realize that. He was the first freak. He was a monster. People couldn't contain him. He couldn't contain him. It was a joke. He was a tight end playing basketball.
And, Dustin, you know, a lot of people don't remember this because they all think of him on those Bulls teams with his, you know, bleach blonde hair with the red dots. But, well, Horace Grant was great, too. Rock Cartwright and all those guys. But a lot of people don't think about Dennis Rodman being on the Bad Boys Pistons team that beat the Bulls. Yep. A lot of people don't remember that he was on that team. And you know, so the physicality, I mean, you look at guys like Lampier, and then you look at guys like the centers today, and it would have been I think the NBA as a whole is soft.
I wrote a column the other day about 4 ways to fix the Brooklyn Nets, and one of my main things was ditch Brook Lopez. And you know why I said that? Because he is one of the best centers in the game. And The reason why that sounds weird is because that's how pathetic that position has gotten in this league. If Brook Lopez is a top three center in the league has issues. There used to be a day when it was Jermaine O'Neal in his prime in Indiana. You hated playing against them. Shaquille O'Neal on the Lakers. All right. How about Dikembe Mutombo on the Hawks? What about Yao Ming when he came and changed the league? A big, tall guy all of a sudden since, like, Manute Bol, 7'6", at Houston. Finally, somebody to play against Shaq. Like, that was exciting, having a 1-2 punch. Now it's evolving to a three-point shooting league. Nobody even cares about the center. Look at Boogie roasting. He's just rotting away in Sacramento. He just had a monster game, put up, like, 40 points and 20 rebounds. Nobody's talking about him. Nobody cares. Because all everybody wants to do on SportsCenter is watch highlights of Steph Curry hitting a half-court shot to end the half. That was a top play. A half-court shot made to end a half. Not a game winner. Nothing. Just a half-court shot to hit to end the half. My favorite basketball player of all time is Jason Kidd. You know how many of those he hit? Tons. And that was never a top play. And that was to win games or to force overtime. Yeah. What about Billups? Detroit back in the early 2000s against the Nets hits a half-court shot to send the game to overtime to save the Detroit Pistons the season they won the championship. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would have been down 3-1.
What about Mike Bibby and those battles with the Kings and the Lakers back in the day? I mean,
this is my point. The league is extremely soft, and it's to the point where the most dominant player is a small forward, and his name is LeBron James. When the most dominant player is a guy that's a small forward, that's when the league has evolved in a bad way. We need a big man, a new big man injection into this league. We need a new set of Shaquille O'Neals. We need Greg Odoms, but ones that live up to the hype. We need the big body guys because, and I said it in my column, they're out there right now and they're being ignored and they're being told the only way you're going to make it to the NBA is if you develop a three-point shot to spread the floor. BS.
They want a bunch of Dirk Nowitzkis is what they want.
Exactly. And there's only one Dirk Nowitzki. There's only one. Don't try to be the next Dirk Nowitzki. How do you stop the Golden State Warriors? They're always going to shoot threes, right? Every team they play against can't rebound the ball because they're chasing them around. How do you stop them? You create a team full of perimeter defenders, the Tony Allens of the world. You get a bunch of perimeter defenders and a dominant big man, not a Brook Lopez, not a Dwight Howard, not soft big men. You need a Shaq that's going to just annihilate you down low. You can't stop him on offense, and on defense, it's an absolute joke to go anywhere beyond the foul line. That's what you do to stop the Golden State Warriors. Everybody's looking left. Go right. Be the first team to develop a big man and start realizing that Golden State's got like maybe 4 years left of this whole three-point evolution. Every team's doing it now. I mean, you got J.J. Redick is dominating the NBA right now because all he can do is shoot threes. Like, that's the league we're in. So be the first team to develop a tough, downstairs-type team that's got a down-low presence. Be the first team. Don't roll with the punches. Go against the grain.
Do you feel that they should do what the NFL did and perhaps make it interesting and make it more difficult and perhaps move the three-point line back a little bit?
No, I don't want to do that because then we're talking about changing the game that everybody loves. I mean, think about back when they added the three-point line. All the legendary players were disgusted. You know, we don't want to start that again. You want to make a four-point line? That'll only make things worse because now Steph Curry is going to start stepping back for five-pointers. Like, half-court shots are going to be like set jumpers if we do that.
True.
I think the league is going to probably look into it, but not maybe next season. They're going to look into bringing back the hand check rule because now all these guards are just like jacking up shots. Just like Dustin said, no one wants to rebound the ball, and it's just we're getting these ridiculous scores. Like, you got the Cavs, who I think is a good team. They can't compete with Golden State Warriors just jacking up threes left and right. So I think they're going to look back into the hand check rule. I mean, it was put out there because Jordan was so great at becoming a jump shooter, and they wanted to take that away. So it's kind of like, you know, like the receivers, like in football, they're very, you know, everything's catered towards the offense. Eventually, we're going to have to switch up and get back to the defensive side.
You know, for me, I look at it I like to do a lot of comparisons, as you guys know. And we mentioned, you know, Cam and Rodgers and those guys are the new era of football. The Drew Brees, the mobile quarterbacks who can move around and throw the football, is the new trend in the NFL. I mean, I know Robert Griffin and Johnny Manziel were failed experiments, but that type of thing is what's trending now.
So far, don't write guys off that are in their mid-20s. I mean, give me a break. All they need is a coach and a team that believes in them.
But that type of style is the new trend. For the NBA, I think right now it's a guard-driven league. And I think that it's going to continue to be a guard-driven league for a while. I like your idea of developing a big man, but the problem then goes to, okay, you know, one guy gets a big man, they get dominant. Okay, and I think big men get overlooked. Running backs get overlooked in the draft. Running backs have become sort of a lost commodity. And look what Dallas did with DeMarco Murray last year. Well, look what teams who have good run games. Carolina has a good run game. Look where they are. So, you know, Denver ran the ball. That was part of the reason they won today. So running backs are sort of that hidden commodity that really help a team that no one cares about. They care about the superstar wide receiver and the quarterback. Same thing now with basketball. They want that Steph Curry guard, that flash player, that ESPN top center. But then, let's say you do take Dustin's idea, if there's any NBA GMs listening, and you do develop a big man and he becomes dominant, and I'm talking more dominant than Boogie Cousins. I'm talking about like dominant big man who's unstoppable.
Shaq dominant.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, like a Shaq. You develop that, you bring that into today's game. Well, then, let's say that works. Let's say that team goes on and wins a championship. Well, then everyone's going to do that. We're going to have a bunch of 7-foot guys. And basketball goes in waves. That's how it is. Whatever's trending right now, and this leads into our next topic about social media, whatever's trending right now is what they're going to do. It's a business. And if the NBA is making money and people are enjoying it and they're selling tickets, if the NBA doesn't care about us sitting on our couch drinking beer watching the game. They care about the people buying the jerseys and going to the games, and, you know, they care about the people tweeting on social media. They want buzz around the organization. And unfortunately, that is what is in style right now. That's the new trend, like skinny jeans. That's what's in style. And, you know, as long as these teenagers are going to buy Steph Curry jerseys and wear, you know, and live in freaking Miami and wear Golden State jerseys, the farthest possible point in the country away from them, they're going to continue to do that. And because the NBA doesn't care. They're a money-driven league, just like the NFL doesn't care. They're a business in the long run. They want to sell tickets and sell merchandise and put butts in seats. So that is why I think if one team goes out and develops a big man, sure, they might be successful, whatever, but it's not going to become a trend unless it catches fire. If people go, oh, man, you know, I love that team. I love that big guy. He's 7 feet tall. He's so great. He blocks shots. And the next team goes, you know what? They won the championship. Let's go do it. And then they come out and get a team. And then eventually every team's got a big man. Well, then the big men are going to start trending. And then people are going to start, you know, saying hashtag block city. And they're going to start, you know, doing the whole thing. And then that'll be the new trend. And then guards will get phased out. And we'll start seeing, you know, guys like me out there in the NBA because guards, they won't care about guards anymore. So it's one of those things where it's a win-win for the league, but it's a lose-lose for the fan. Because guys like us, like me and Dustin, who are a little older, who like that old school, who like traditional basketball, we're way past traditional sports nowadays. The only traditional sport we've got left is baseball and, well, hockey too. But the really baseball and hockey are really it. The world of sports on a major level is transitioning. And part of the reason for that is the youngins, like Arlenas. Jason, I don't know how old you are, but I'm assuming you're younger than us. And, you know, but like, you guys are the reason for what's going on in sports. You have a huge impact, and you also have a huge presence on social media, which sort of leads me, and it ties in a little bit of this topic here. Social media nowadays, okay, does it have a positive or negative influence on sports when it comes to the superstar athletes being role models? When you look at, you know, a guy like a Cam Newton, who has letters written to him by angry mothers because he does the dab dance after a touchdown, or, you know, the Superman thing, whatever. You get guys, you know, LeBron James used to do the whole the baby powder thing and throw it up. Everyone's got their thing. But then on social media, we talk about it. and we tweet it and we make hashtags about it and we make, you know, internet memes about it, and it generates popularity. But also it can go the other way. A guy says one thing the wrong way, whether it's joking, whether it's serious, but it's really not that big of a deal, somebody is going to make a big deal about it because we're in a politically correct era where everyone's offended by everything. So it's going to be one of those things where it's either going to make him look like Superman or it's going to make him look like Satan. So, guys, do you feel that social media has had a positive and negative effect? Is it one or the other? Or is social media really just kind of doesn't matter and the game is the game? Arlenis, what do you think?
Well, I'm a big social media girl. I'm always on it. Most of the time when I'm watching the game, it's not going to think. I think it affects the game bad and good because, you know, while you're watching the game, you want to say, like, whoa, that was a great play, whatever. But then it comes to some athletes, I'm sure, like, what they do on a daily basis, you know, they at the gym, they eating pizza, whatever. That's good. But sometimes people take whatever they're doing as a good or bad thing. And I think that's why most of them really don't use it, or they have, like, people who manage it or something else, because people take social media too seriously for my likings. I mean, people joke around and sometimes
they live by
it. Seriously.
People live by it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it depends who you are also. It depends what you tweet about, and that really impacts whatever you're doing.
Jason, how about you?
I think social media is pretty good and bad. It's both. And here's why. I think it's good for you get your message and you could, you know, it's like direct to consumer. Now an athlete doesn't need a publicist. He could say what he wants to say. He could promote what he wants to promote. But the bad part is I think all these athletes are a little too engaged into it. You know, the whole Jordan crying meme. Athletes nowadays are extremely sensitive compared to, like, how they were maybe 5 years ago. So I definitely think it has its good and it has its bad, but mostly bad because of, you know, people are they're too emotional. So they'll say something, they'll put something out there, and now it could affect their contract negotiation, it can affect endorsement deals, and so forth.
Dustin, how about you?
I mean, I think I don't know. I personally, my opinion is you're a professional athlete. You are now a celebrity. There's a reason why you see George Clooney on the street and you can't really just walk up to him and shake his hand and tell him how much you like his movies, you know? They're in their own world now. They're famous. People love them. People are willing to do a lot of bad things just to touch these people and, you know, whatever. There's a lot of psychos out there. So I think you need to realize that when you get put into that situation, when you now have a lot of power just by speaking and saying an opinion, right? Look what happened to Brady. Brady took a hit because he voiced that he supports Trump. I mean, I'm on the record. I love Trump. I think he's great for politics. He's getting a lot of people to pay attention that wouldn't normally have paid attention, including myself. I hated politics. I think it's all a waste of time because no one's ever in office long enough to truly change anything. And look what Trump's doing. I'm watching all the debates because I think he's freaking hilarious. I would never watch any of the debates. So Brady took a hit. You know what I mean? Brady says he supports Trump on his Twitter or whatever. Boom, gets annihilated for it. How dare you, sir? How could you possibly? Well, it's a free world, right? Free country. We can say whatever we want, but you need to have some kind of control. I don't like it. You know what I mean? I've had interactions with celebrities and I think it's cool and it makes me feel good. You know what I mean? I've tweeted out to Shawn Michaels and he's responded before. And I think that's the coolest thing in the world. But realistically, do I really think I have, like, you know, I belong in a real life conversation with Shawn Michaels unless I just stumbled upon him in the airport? No. Because he's a little bit above me. You know, he's done great things. He's got millions of dollars, and he's at a completely different point in his life, you know, just like a lot of these other guys. Cam Newton, like, if I wanted to talk to Cam Newton, what do I have to do now? I got to do at Cam Newton, you effing suck, and I'm 9 times out of 10 probably going to get a response from him. That was never the case. This is damn near like putting your phone number out there for anybody to call you up and text you. You know, I don't like it. I don't think there's any benefit to it. Yeah, you're close to your fans. If you want to be close to your fans, have an autograph signing. You know, there's a reason why, you know, that it's not like this is the first time celebrities have tried to learn how to interact with their fans. Like, if you want to interact with your fans, Wade and I are going to MegaCon in 3 months. Hell, I guarantee you there's going to be a bunch of people from Batman versus Superman and probably Suicide Squad there. That's how you interact with fans. You don't tweet out to them and have conversations that turn into bloody, you know, like insult wars and shit. Everybody's this thug on a computer. You know, the keyboard heroes that will just throw out whatever they want because they know what's the likelihood that the person I'm going to harass is really going to show up at my doorstep and punch me in the face. So,
well,
I don't like it. I think it's all negative personally, and I could do without it. I could. But there have been studies that said people, if they're forced to shut their cell phones off and go without Facebook, they literally hit a depression. And I think that's pathetic.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I look at it two different ways. I mean, I use it for entertainment, sure, because, you know, sometimes you'll get those really funny memes. NFLmemes.com is really good about, you know, being up to date with a lot of the new stuff. And, you know, they have some of these token ones that you know, everybody knows that are funny memes. And then, you know, you get hashtags and you follow people's Twitter and this. And it's entertainment sometimes. But then can kind of go too far because people get a lot more confident behind a keyboard than they would in person with somebody. And for instance, Blair Walsh for the Vikings kicker, when he missed that kick, he got annihilated as well. And all he did was miss it. Now, I understand it's a playoff game, it's whatever. But like my another example is Gutskowski. Okay, the reason the Patriots had to go for two at the end that they lost tonight on was because he missed an extra point. Okay, and you know, the league, that they knew that was going to happen in colder weather situations. They moved it back and to make it more interesting. And, of course, it was an interesting finish. You know, you look at what happened today. I'm going on here on Twitter, to be honest with you. And there's a kid who I'm assuming lives in Massachusetts who tweeted at Steven Gutskowski. Okay? And there's some expletives in here, so I'm gonna censor those. But he says, at Gutskowski, I hope all of your children die and you have to watch, you stupid effing B-word. Slit your wrist and die, you dumb woman's body part. So basically, that takes it a little too far. Like if you're a fan of a team and, yeah, you got your heart crushed because your team lost, and then this gives you an avenue not only to praise somebody and to say funny things and to make trends, but it gives you an avenue to attack somebody. I guarantee you he wouldn't say that to Steven Gutskowski if he was standing 2 feet in front of him. So it gives you the opportunity to sort of be a keyboard gangster a little bit and say things, horrible things, that you normally wouldn't say. And you see it all the time whenever somebody makes a bad play. Somebody will it's just part of the game. And you look at an athlete and you say, well, you know, I missed the kick or I missed the shot. That's just part of the game. It happens. It wasn't my night. And, you know, and then fans will be like, you know, effing B-word, you suck, get the hell out of here, you know. And so they have the ability to do that because that's the avenue that social media creates. So, yes, I do agree it's positive and negative. But on the influence of role models, and you look at athletes, because athletes are some of the biggest role models on the planet for younger kids. We talked a little bit about Steph Curry and kids all over the country wearing Steph Curry jerseys, even if they didn't even know where Golden State is located. And, you know, social media creates the ability to have role models for people to look up to. But it also creates the ability for people to attack, like I just mentioned. But let me ask you guys, back in the days of like Babe Ruth, for instance, Joe Namath, you know, those guys, they did some pretty unsavory things off the field. I mean, if you do some research on the life of Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, they did some things that today you'd be like, wow, you know, he's kind of a douche, you know? And you'd be like, you know, that's wow. You know, that's all you would say is wow. But there was no social media, obviously. There wasn't even computers back then. And so, you know, nobody knew about it. All that the people knew was what they did on TV, how they produced, the home runs that they hit, the catches that they made. That's it. And so now that everything is documented and people are on camera constantly and every little move, you can't sneeze without somebody knowing about it on the internet nowadays. Do you think that it sort of gives professional athletes more of an advantage to become a role model for kids and teens and kids in their young 20s, or do you think it actually makes it harder for professional athletes to become role models nowadays because everything they do in their personal life is documented? How about you, Arlene?
To me, it depends how you use it, because there's some athletes that, I mean, I follow a lot of athletes, you know, and it depends. People like, I don't know, CC Sabathia, he has this foundation, right? So he talks about the events, the things that are going to be, how can you donate or contribute to something, you know? And then there's like Carlos Gomez, who uses it as like to tweet pictures with his family, with his friends, jokes, videos, share his music, you know. So it depends how they use it. And it's really important to know that those guys are really under pressure no matter what. So they know a bunch of people, like me as a Yankees fan, and I'm watching this Rexas, like Big Papa just hit a homer, and I'm going to be, oh, damn you. So he's doing something great. So many people are going to be happy for it. But me, not so much, you know. So I think it's important that they remember what they're doing. They're great. And there's a lot of people hating, but there's a lot of people that also love them. And you should never pay attention to the negative stuff. That's my opinion.
True. Okay. I understand that. That's a good thought. Jason, what about you? Do you feel that it's an advantage or a disadvantage for professional athletes nowadays to become role models because of social media?
I think it's a disadvantage. I mean, honestly, role models should be at home. Your role models should be your parents or your teachers or your coaches, not necessarily an athlete. That's mistake number one. But two, I feel like, you know, while you're playing the game, while you're playing the sport you're playing, you shouldn't be engaging in social media. What I mean by that, I mean during the week, during the game, and et cetera. Other than that, I have no problem with social media. I just think folks in general are way too engaged into it.
We know your opinion on social media, but I gave this question here about them having an advantage, disadvantage to become based on the documentation experience we're doing with social media. What do you feel on that topic?
I don't know. There's nothing, to me, there's just nothing possible. I mean, positive for it. In my opinion, I agree with what Jason said. If you want to put guidelines, like nothing during the season, fine. That makes sense, because now we're talking taking away their freedom, right? Because if it's in the off season, I'm not going to tell somebody, don't go on your phone, don't use Twitter, don't use Facebook, like whatever, because we all do it, you know? So I just hate the fact that if I wanted to dog on Tom Brady right now, I could do it. I could write a tweet, you're awful, I think your wife's a horrible person, and your kids should go run off a cliff. That's terrible. That would guaranteed get a rise out of him, though, wouldn't you think? And then he'd reply back. That's what a lot of these people do, and I think it's terrible, and I just don't think it's any good. You shouldn't be able to reach out to anybody like that. As much as we hate to admit it, they are on a pedestal. They're celebrities. They're larger than life. And, yeah, they are just regular people like you and I, except, oh, everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows their name, and they make a lot of money. So a lot of negative stuff comes with that. You just got to realize it.
Do you feel like they should keep their, I guess, influence on us on the field, and we shouldn't – or the court or wherever, and we should not dive into their personal lives via a keyboard, right?
I agree.
So, real quick, I got a couple of updates here. I got that little update music, or something like that, the update music. Panthers have kicked a field goal. It's 27-7 now in the third quarter. Arizona's got the ball back, but chances are this thing is academic at this point. And for any of our WWE fans out there who may be listening, Dean Ambrose, you guys want to give a spoiler for the Rumble? I don't know if you guys are watching it in the background.
No.
Spoilers?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. No spoilers.
Don't spoil it.
Well, the reason I was going to do that was to transition to the next segment, but I won't. I'm just going to tell you.
Well, how about this? What is the next segment? Are we talking Rumble?
No. I was just giving an update. The next one was going to be sort of, it links into social media, but it also links into sort of what we've been talking about. Are you Apple or are you hashtag Team Apple or hashtag Team Android? And I say that because I get my updates on my lovely Android LG V10 that I've got here that I can completely customize and get everything I want on, and has all the RAM and memory that I need, and is a beautiful looking phone. And you know,
how much
money
are you getting to say this? What's your cut right now? Because I want a quarter of it.
Well, my cut is actually I feel like I'm paying them, because you look at my phone bill every month and it's ridiculous. But I'm not getting a cut, but I wish I was, for sure. But I've always been Team Android. I've never really bought into the whole Mac thing. And really how I was transitioning was, I was going to say, oh, well, I just got a Rumble update on my beautiful new V10. Or I just got a Carolina Panthers update on my Blue, and I was going to transition that way. But I won't spoil it for anybody out there. Let's just say that the first match, the Rumble did things well. They caught people's entertainment from the beginning, and the first match was Owens versus Ambrose for the IC title, which is a good way to start a show. You don't want a bunch of boring matches and then the good stuff, because people tend to turn it off. So that's good. So I won't tell you who won that,
Chris,
even though I did get the beautiful Android update.
How about this? How about this, though? I got an email in from Joey out at breadforyourbed.com, and he literally asked us, who do you think is going to win the Rumble? So I figured we could take a minute and each throw a name out there, because by the time the show gets over, we might even be into the main match. So why don't you start it, Chris? Go to Arlanis, Jason, and then I'll finish it. But again, that was Joe. That was Joe out of breadforyourbed.com. He wants to know what we think, who's going to win the Rumble. So let's take a break and let's answer that.
Breadforyourbed.com. Well, that's a great site. And breadforyourbed.com, go on and check out the OTSNN.com, and maybe we can do a little something. But anyways, who do I think is going to win the Rumble? See, it's tough because it's tough for me to say. I don't think Reigns is going to walk out with the belt. Personally, you got to think Lesnar. That would be the top person in my mind. But the way that they've been pushing Bray Wyatt, and the way that Bray Wyatt decimated everybody on Monday night, you know, they've been pushing him now for almost a year. And to me, in my opinion, he's always fallen short. The way that they've been pushing him, and the lack of gold that he's held, I feel like maybe this might be his opportunity. His whole thing, anyone but you, Roman, that he's been doing for, you know, months now. I just think Bray Wyatt is going to use the family, and perhaps something happens where the family members wins and then sacrifices it to him, or he ends up using them to cheat somehow and winning the title. But to me, if WWE creative is as bland as I think that they are, and predictable as I think that they are, the way that they've been pushing Wyatt, I think that they're going to give him a belt, even if it's for a short period of time, and then he can come in, and then the face can chase at Mania, and Reigns can win it back, or whatever. Or my other alternative was Triple H comes, screws Roman, he wins the belt, and the belt is now in the authorities' camp, and then he can do with it what he wishes, give it to another superstar or hold it over his head as like, ha, I got you thing. But to me, it's really either it's going to be Roman or it's going to be Triple H coming back.
I also just got an email from our OTSNN insider, our house guy, the Fantasy Jester, and he said, I think Jester makes an appearance and wins the Royal Rumble. So there's a little bit of comedy for everybody.
The Jester may, you know, I would like to see a character called the Jester in the WWE. I think it would be interesting to see. It would be like a cross between like Doink the Clown and like Stone Cold. You know, he'd be like a BAMF, but he'd also be like funny. You know, so I think it'd be kind of cool to have the Jester. He'd come out with his like colorful outfit and a big Jester pole. Maybe he'd ride a horse out. You know, he'd have the old English music. I think that'd be kind of cool, actually. But, Arlanis, what's your prediction for who's going to win the Rumble tonight?
Well, I wish that Roman could walk out with the belt, but I think that's impossible, knowing that he's been number one to enter the Rumble. So I just want somebody to surprise us, not like the typical, I don't know, since John Cena is not there this year. which is really sad. I hope his... I want the WWE to impress me. I don't know. Something that I'm not expecting and just blow my mind. I don't know. Rey Mysterio, something like that.
Kalisto, something like that. I think Eddie Guerrero comes back in spirit form.
Don't push it.
But Jason, what about you?
All right, I have two quick theories here. One, logical, I see Triple H winning this Rumble. Not only does it bring heat to the WWE, because now you have the COO coming in and giving himself the belt, but you have to have Roman be the chase. You have to have the face chase the heel in the Mania season. If that doesn't happen, I see something like a Seth Rollins coming back early, kind of like how Cena did about 5 years ago when he wasn't expected to make it back to the roster until middle of the year. So look for those.
They're much different injuries, though. I mean, in ACL, look at NFL players, NBA players, have ACL injuries. They're out for a full season. I mean, do you think Rollins would be ready by this point?
I think there's a positive sense. I mean, I'm on good sources that he's actually ahead of schedule. His scheduled time was to come back in the bank time, but I've heard from great legit sources that he's fully ahead of schedule. But think about it this way. He can win Rumble by some fluke. He doesn't have to wrestle and defend the title until WrestleMania. So that gives him
true.
More time to heal up. So I expect right. those two things. I expect those two things to happen. Either one of those two things to happen, I mean.
Okay. So we sort of share the possible Triple H appearance. And, you know, if Triple H does come back tonight, the way that Stephanie and Vince rigged the whole wheel thing, which, by the way, I saw coming a mile away, that every ball that came out was going to say Roman Reigns. That I knew was coming. Triple H, if he comes in, is going to enter at number 30. And it's going to be...
That would be great.
It's going to be Lesnar. It's going to be Lesnar and Reigns are the only ones left, or Wyatt and Reigns, one of the two. And Triple H is going to do it.
The great times in the Attitude Era. It was when Vince McMahon used his power to piss us all off, right? And just put Austin through all the hoops and all the BS. It really, I hate the fact that they're recycling the entire story, but I do at least like that they're moving in the direction, because God knows it was getting boring, right? They have some of the worst ratings they've ever had in the history of the industry right now. And apparently they had it when Rollins was the champion. Listen, that's WWE creative. That's not this guy, because he was one of the most athletic guys I've ever seen in the ring. He is literally the future of the WWE, whether people want to admit it or not. Before that injury, he was the best wrestler I had seen since HBK. He was HBK in his prime in 2015. No one had ever been that good at off the top rope stuff, flips, spins. But what was it that tore his knee? He did a little bit of he did that little moonsault off the top and then planted. It was like, you know when you're sitting on the top rope, the guy comes and gets you, and then you flip over him to land on your feet, and then you want to power bomb him. It was right on the flip. It was such a fluke injury, guys. And
yeah,
he's still so
totally
young.
Good.
He's still so young. Think about the real injuries that Sean went through, right? Sean missed 5 years at a time, came back, and still had a 10-year career. So we're talking early. He can do this. He's fully capable of coming back and still being, like, an unbelievable influence on this industry. So, I mean, great question from Joe again. Again, Joey at breadforyourbed.com. It was a good question. I personally hate this because I hate the guy, but I could totally see Daniel Bryan coming back because he just got cleared medically. And then all of a sudden, all the idiots in the crowd start chanting yes. And then just some BS, you know, feel good, B-plus player moment. That was my favorite part of that entire thing, because I completely agreed with it, because he's so average and boring. He sucks, and he needs to shave and cut his hair and just be normal and presentable. I hate everything about Daniel Bryan, and I can honestly, the only thing I don't hate is that he was trained by Shawn Michaels. The one and only time Shawn taught somebody how to be a wrestler, and it was Daniel Bryan. You couldn't have done Rollins.
True.
Couldn't have done Randy Orton. Couldn't have been a cool guy. It has to be this guy who's a fucking furball that just is so uninteresting.
He is a furball.
I can't even, like, I fall asleep in his matches. He's not.
Well, speaking
fun
of
to
falling
watch.
Asleep. Would you put a fist through your television if, let's just say, this is never in a million years going to happen because they're not at this level yet, but if one of the New Day members were to win the Rumble like Xavier Rhodes wins the Rumble.
Since I'm being 100% honest with all of you, since Rollins got hurt, I haven't seen a Raw from start to finish. I literally fast forward just to find out, because guess what? This is how transparent WWE is now and how long I've been a fan. I know I got a 20-minute promo at the beginning of the program with either one of the members of the Authority, Paul Heyman, coming out, making a dumb 20-minute spiel about his client. And then I know I got nothing good happening until the last match of the night. I know there's a chance that at hour two, I get another promo. And that's why I fast forward through all the filler matches of the first hour. I wait to see if I get my second promo. If I don't, and it's some terrible Y2J, copying Roddy Piper sequence, I fast forward through that, just like Miz TV. I go to my main event, and then when I realize my main event is a bunch of garbage, I fast forward, I delete the recording, and I stop watching Raw. So that's literally been my experience with Raw since Rollins has gotten injured. That is how terrible Monday Night Raw has become. I just can't believe it, guys. I'm disappointed, and a part of me is dying inside because I'm still a kid who loves wrestling, and I'm just so disappointed in what I'm seeing. Anybody can agree that the girls are incredible to look at, right? We all as men agree, and I'm sure Arlenis finds them attractive too.
Yes,
that they're freaking gorgeous. But
I prefer the TNA
knockout,
to be honest with you. I did. I prefer the TNA.
They're not really. Can I say something about that really quick?
Yeah, sure.
The girls wrestling right now is so bad. I don't like it. I don't watch it.
And that's coming from a girl. That's coming
the
from
two,
one of your own.
The only
you know, like
two
Paige?
Girls that I think
Paige's,
right now
Paige
that can,
awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Paige and I think Naomi, they're the two girls that actually wrestle.
Because
they're
Sasha,
the only
Sasha,
girls.
Sasha Kapowski.
They are, they are bringing their Total Divas kind of thing, their drama, into the wrestling. I hate it. To me, the girls with Kelly, Mickie James, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Those
were divas.
Girls.
Trish Stratus, Lita.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right? To build off of Arlenis' point, that's the difference. There are WWE smoke shows. Sable.
Yeah.
You remember Terry Reynolds, the girl who showed up with barely anything on that didn't do anything
yeah.
except for be a manager.
Gold Dust was.
Then exactly.
Sunny.
How about exactly Sunny? There are smoke shows. How about the girl who talks Russian with Rusev? What's her name? Lana? That's a smoke
Lana.
Show.
Lana.
She's not a diva. She's not a diva. You know who else is a smoke show? Eva Marie, but she's trying to be a diva so much that they don't realize what they have. Eva Marie is the new Sable. She's incredible and never has to wrestle a match. Just pair her with a guy with personality and they could dominate, but no one will do it. So we're going to waste away Eva Marie in NXT right now. But my point is,
well, look
divas.
At Deborah.
Look at divas. Yeah, exactly. Deborah. Great
Deborah
point.
With the whole puppies
whole
thing.
Place.
During the 1998-99
exactly.
thing
was,
with King. Oh,
yep.
puppies! Woohoo!
Exactly.
You know, that whole thing.
So she was a smoke show, and then you had the divas, the leaders of the world, right? The Chinas, the girls that could get in and legitimately have an awesome, exciting match. Charlotte is getting there, but I just don't dig her style. She's
like
probably
her.
The most athletic girl on the roster now.
Yeah, but her style, she's not attractive. As like, she kind of wrestles well, but she's like trying to be her dad kind of thing.
Yeah.
Am I the only one getting that vibe? I just
no, we all
don't
do.
Dig her. I don't dig
well,
her style.
Thing though, I mentioned divas, and that's a good word, and I know we have a talk here in only about a half hour, but the word diva sort of means drama. It means that whole catty, look at my nails and my hair's done.
Yeah.
It means, that's what it means. You look at like what TNA did, for instance, and I'm not saying TNA is better than WWE by any stretch of the imagination, but you look at that, and they were called the Knockouts, and they were beautiful to look at, well, some of them anyway, and they were, but they were fighters too. And, you give the opinion of diva, I don't think fight, I don't think wrestler when I hear diva. Knockout, sure, that's a fighting term. So I think that they should rename, and the women's title, they're still women, okay? They're still women despite, you know, everything. I just don't think you should call it the diva title. It doesn't make it pain and cliche.
I just think, honestly, and I want Arlenis' opinion on this because she is our only female on our staff. I think if we were to come up with two categories, a knockouts division
and then a divas division, you would have a giant feminist movement being like, well, why can't the attractive girls fight? And why can't the girls that are fighting, why are those girls considered dykes? Why can't they be knocked out?
But that's not us.
Why can't
that's not
I know?
That's
but
what
that's what we
WWE
know.
Did
but you know that's
they
what,
created
you know
their own
that's what it
hellstorm.
No. You know that's what it would create.
Well, I think like back in the day, like girls like Kelly, she's ridiculously gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, yes.
Sorry, Wilson.
Stacey Keebler.
And
yeah,
Maureen,
and she didn't belong. She didn't belong in a ring. She just looked good getting in and out of a ring. That was it.
No, I mean they were like they
shout
were
out
really
to
cute.
George
I mean
Clooney
Mickey James, she's beautiful.
Shout out
man.
To George Clooney.
And they
that's another reason why I'd shake his hand in public. All right,
and then you tweet at him after.
We definitely got a little bit off track with this, but I love talking wrestling, and that's why we had a wrestling podcast for a long time, which we might get going again back eventually. But, you know, one step at a time. We want to make this a killer show first, and then we'll expand. So this is what we're going to do. I don't want to take too much time on Apple or Android because, honestly, it's boring to me. So let's do just like we did our Super Bowl picks. Just quickly, each of us take 30 seconds, Apple or Android, and explain why. And start with Arlena. Go ahead.
Well, I have both iPhone and
Android. Whoa, tech.
Yeah, I have one of each.
That's like drinking Coke and Pepsi at the same time. What are you doing?
They're much different. Beer and whiskey.
I have my reasons, right? And I think it depends what you want to use it for. That's all.
Okay, I hear that. Jason, you.
I have an Apple Watch, I have an Apple phone, and I have an Apple computer. It's all about keeping everything uniform. And
he likes
Apple.
He does. He's a fruity guy.
It's all about keeping it uniform, and I have no problems with Apple, and that's all I got to say about that.
All right, Dustin, what do you got? I don't even know what kind of phone you have. Still?
No. My favorite phone of all time was my BlackBerry Bold. This was when the very first iPhone came out. I hate touchscreens. I still can't use them. That's why when I text people, I send them tons of typos and tons of autocorrect issues. My fingers, I have these big gorilla paws, and I can't text with an iPhone because the little buttons are so small. At least on the little button keyboard of the BlackBerry, I could feel the button. I could feel each individual button, so I knew when I was in between or when I was mashing multiple buttons. On a touchscreen that's all flat, I can't tell, and I'm just sitting there typing away. Like, I used to be able to carry on conversations in my car one-handed with my BlackBerry with my eyes on the road, dude. Never looked at my phone, and I could have a full conversation in my right hand while I was driving. That's how good I got with the BlackBerry Bold, and then they killed it. They killed it, and they killed me in the process, and now I'm stuck with this dog crap iPhone, which I hate, but I certainly don't like Android any better. So I regrettably take Apple, but I'll never use a Mac because I like my right click on my mouse, and I'll never fully convert. I do have an iPad, which my daughter now owns and doesn't let me use ever because it's just now a Netflix and Hulu iPad for her to watch, but I regrettably say Apple, but I'm not sold. I got a Windows computer. You know what I mean? I'll never fully convert to Mac.
I like Android because of the customization options. I mean, I can do absolutely anything on this V10, and it comes with that thing. Like with Apple, like Jason said, he has the Apple Watch, the Apple phone, the Apple. You know how many hoops you have to jump through to use an Android phone and sync it to your Mac computer? You know, I mean, those are designed for you to be all Apple or no Apple. And that's kind of – I like to have options. I'm a guy who defies authority and doesn't like to be told what I have to have. So that's why I prefer Android personally. And that's why I chose Verizon back in the day before they were the big conglomerate that they are now. You know, when all my friends had Nextel and were chirping in class, I had the little Verizon phone, and now look at them. So, you know, I like to go against the grain a little bit too. Especially in the Apple world we live in. Quick update, 34-7 Carolina right now after another score, fourth quarter just beginning. So this one is pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. It's Broncos-Panthers in the Super Bowl. There's still 15 minutes left to go, but like I said, this one's pretty much in the books. The next topic, and I say this because Cam Newton's gotten a lot of heat about this
lately.
Hold on,
Chris.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, what am I uploading all these clips for if we don't use them?
Damn.
Sure. Look at my down. 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 So, I thank you for that. I was going to actually have you play it. I wasn't going to have you play it right then. I was going to get into it first. But either way, points across. That song, Dab, by Migos, has become, that's the new thing. That's the new Dougie, the new Cat Daddy, the new, you know, Jerk Dance. That is the new dance sweeping the nation on this song by Migos. And Cam Newton does that as part of his celebration now. We see coaches doing it, players doing it all over the place. Two things for me and why that song sort of resonates negatively with me. I'm a hip-hop head. I love hip-hop, old school, new school, everything. I'm a huge hip-hop fan. I hate trap music, but regardless. First of all, can anybody... And I kind of hope so, but I also kind of hope not. Can anybody on here tell us what a dab actually is? Do you guys know what that is?
No idea.
I have no idea.
Not a clue.
They use it as a metaphor, like dab, like you're dabbing your head, like that's, you know, you put your hand on your thing, like whatever. But a dab actually is marijuana in the form of like one of those Listerine things, and you put it like on your, you put it in like you put in a dip basically, and it gets into your bloodstream that way, so you don't have to smoke it. That's what a dab is. And then also then they used it as, all right, well, I'm putting my hand, you know, on my arm and I'm dabbing blood or sweat or whatever. So they kind of spun it positively in that sense. But that's sort of that is sort of showing kids, okay, well, where's my stoner crowd at? I'm going to bring this in the limelight. And, you know, weed is still not legal, even though it should be. And, you know, a lot of kids are looking at that, and they're going to research it. It's a social media age. We covered that already. They're going to look at what is dab or what is real meaning of dab? What does dab mean? And they're going to find it. And, you know, you heard the B word in front of dab there in the song. And Migos, to me, represents it. It's on a personal level. I live up in Albany, New York. Migos came to a venue that we have called the Washington Avenue Armory. And it was violent. There was several stabbings. A few females were sexually assaulted in the bathroom and robbed. Their purses taken, things like that. The culture and the atmosphere that that group presents at their shows is the reason why Albany hasn't booked a hip-hop show since. It was a year and a half ago. You know, you can't have those things happen, and then all of a sudden, you know, a negative light. And so I think that, you know, if they just did the dance and it was and they were actually doing that dance in the video, fine. But, you know, I know enough about what a dab is, what they meant by it, and what that group represents in their other music as well. So I don't think I'd go as far as to saying that players shouldn't be allowed to do it on the field. I don't think they can do that dance because it's kind of a cool looking little thing. But I don't know if I would go as far as that. But I don't think that it should be something that is brought into the limelight just because of how negative the group is and how negative what a dab actually is on the influence of young kids, you know, especially through social media. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
In the Urban Dictionary, dab is a drunk ass bitch.
Okay. No, that's okay. You gotta, you know, it's like medical terminology. You know, you can't say the P word, but you can say vagina. You know, it's the same thing. I get you.
All right, dumb ass bitch.
I propose. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
I propose and we have a new segment. No. Wait. I propose we start a new segment and we give Arlenis a term she's never heard of before, and we get to listen to her read definition on the air just with her accent and not knowing anything about it. Dab is drunk ass bitch.
We have to make it a dirty term though. We have to tell her like Arlenis, go on and look up an Alabama Hot Pocket. Go on and look up something like that. You know, we have to go on and look up.
Wait, the coolest is that a down ass bitch, usually female, this person will likely be the most chill of your friends.
Okay, but Arlene, it's coming from, you know, you're a girl, you're and you're on a date with, really feel that is associated with that. Now, Urban Dictionary is like Wikipedia. It's not necessarily a be-all, end-all for definitions, but do you feel that, you know, a dance is associated with that terminology should be something that's brought to the limelight for, you know, kids? I was at my cousin's rec game the other day. The kid's 8 years old, and a kid scores a layup and does the dab dance. Do you think that kids should be sort of exposed to that kind of a thing on a high level just because they see athletes doing it on TV, so they think it's okay?
Well, I have a 4-year-old little brother, and I don't think that I would like him doing that. So I don't think.
Oh, there you go. See? So exactly. I mean, dab means a couple of things. It means, can you say it again for me one more time?
A drunk ass bitch.
Come on. No, not the full. No, what's the full letters mean?
Dab, you mean?
Yes, dab, please.
A down ass bitch.
Very good. Okay. So it means that, right? So you've got that terminology. You've
How
got dab.
How are we gonna get any sponsors when you got Arlanus out here swearing like a sailor on the air? Jeez, I'm crow.
Well, when we go back in post-production, we edit the show, we can put little bleeps in there or whatever. We can figure that out. So for what that means, and plus, I mean, with her accent, they might not understand what she's saying anyway. With those...
That's me.
you know I love you. Come on. You know I love you. With what that means, with what the marijuana dip dab is, and with the group... Migos and sort of the violence at their shows and their other music. If you listen to their CD, I mean, the parental advisory sticker is almost the size of the CD cover. I mean, they really need it. You already said you wouldn't want your brothers people doing that. Do you feel that athletes then shouldn't promote that culture? And well, not necessarily culture. I shouldn't say that. They shouldn't promote that terminology, and shouldn't dance that sort of brings that sort of attitude into the limelight.
Well, I think you never know. Maybe like Migo is the singer. They like pull
Migos,
friends from the plug, and he's
Migos.
Trying to get out, and he's helping him out. You know, I mean, if he wasn't doing that, we wouldn't be talking about it. You never know if he's doing a little promo for his friend.
Hey, back in the I mean, we're giving Migos a lot of publicity right now. A lot. And who knows? I trust me. In the club, I dance to that song. I do. But I'm saying if I'm watching Cam Newton. Do that. Knowing
what
it means.
Another great segment for everybody. We could have, you know? We could do 10 seconds of Chris dancing to the dab.
We'd have to do it on. We'd have to do it on Spreecast so I can do it on video. But yeah, I'll do that. Just put it on the little dab thing, you know.
Jason, what do you think about the dab?
I think it's trendy, and I think it's going to take the stage. Comes full. Everybody talks about. I mean. It's the next craze. I've something to replace it by the summertime. Probably Cam dabbing. I mean, he's
it'll come and
so
go.
Young.
Yeah, it's. I mean, look how quick the Dougie faded out. I mean, it'll come and go.
Yeah.
I mean, Dougie, right. Do you have a? I know. I don't know how big of a hip hop guy you are, but do you have an opinion at all on this?
Or? I'm so little of a hip hop guy. I don't even want to talk about this. So our next segment is one that is near and dear to my heart. We're probably going to have a cool little funny clip to intro the segment by next week, but it's called the BS quote of the week, all right? And I want to open
Arlene,
up by
what
saying...
BS means.
Yeah, what is BS, Arlene?
No, don't. Don't actually say it. Okay, keep going.
So what I want to do is we're going to do it every week, the BS quote of the week. I'm going to pick one athlete that has a quote. I'm going to play it, and then we're all going to decide, is it BS or is it not? And here it is. Here's our BS quote of the week.
I think I was just as surprised and caught off guard by everybody yesterday. It's unfortunate, you know, what happened yesterday. And, you know, as a team, you know, we just have to focus on what's now in front of us, with the coach that we have now. And we got to continue to get better.
David Griffin said yesterday that he felt like this team wasn't connected, that it wasn't galvanized after wins, not acting like he thought it should. Do you agree with that?
I think he was right in everything that he said. Obviously, he sees it from the outside and in the inside looking in. I mean, he's around us every day. And, you know, he felt like, you know, as good as we can be, we weren't reaching the potential to this point. So he made the change that he felt that was appropriate for this team. And like it or love it or hate it or whatever, you got to respect it. And as professionals, we got to, you know, get ready for the game tonight.
LeBron, you are the face of this team.
She was right. That reporter at the end was right. LeBron is the face of the team. He's basically the GM. I mean, I'll say it quick because we only have a little under 10 minutes left to go here in our inaugural broadcast of Satellite Sundays. But, by the way, anybody who does want to call in, we will have a call-in number for you to call, talk to us next week as well. But I do think it's BS. I really do. Because LeBron has had beef with the David Blatt hiring since he got there. LeBron was vocal about not liking the signing when he became the coach. And then when they go out and they get smacked by 50 to a team that a lot of people are saying that, you know, had the Cavs been healthy, they would have won. And they come out and get embarrassed on their home floor. And then next thing you know, they're 30-11. 30-11, the best record in the East, and their coach is gone. I definitely think if you watch LeBron's body language in that game, I definitely think he was instrumental in that. Just like Kobe has been sort of the player GM of the Lakers, and look what he did to them. You know, telling Jerry Buss who to sign, who not to sign, you know, who he would play with, who he didn't want to play with. So it's sort of the same thing. I think it's BS because I think LeBron James has a lot more power than anybody in the organization is letting out right now. So to me, it's definitely a BS quote. He knew exactly what had happened. In fact, he was probably the one who asked for it, to be honest with you.
Arlene, is BS or no BS?
BS.
Why?
Because I think before they make that kind of decisions, they kind of talk to them before. So it's not like they're going to do something like that and just don't tell anyone, especially him, you know. And he's not just going to be surprised by it. I think before they take that kind of decision, they talk it out. So, BS.
Jason?
It's total BS. It's mucho BS. I mean, LeBron wanted
Mucho Grande.
He's out since last season, and I feel like LeBron, the GM, has failed the team. If he thinks J.R. Smith and Shumpert are championship-level players, then he has his work cut out for him. I think this roster, besides the big three, this roster is a joke. It's a championship joke roster. They're only looking good because they've played in subpar teams. If you look at the record, they're 0-3 against the two top teams in the West, and now 0-2 against the Bulls. And like I said, I think Cleveland's a joke. I think that roster's a joke. Their best chance of improving.
I'm not even sold on Kevin Love. I'm not. I'm really not. I wasn't sold on him in Minnesota.
That thing, I think they have to trade him. I think they have to trade him and try to get somebody like a
Brooklyn.
To help.
Send him to Brooklyn.
Or trade him to Brooklyn. Yeah.
He'll take him. Seriously. He'll take him.
I would package Love, Brooklyn. Get
last one, we got just under 7.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I would take that trade and I would send Brook Lopez out with a goddamn bow on the back of his head. Oh my god.
For Kevin Love, huh? Okay, all right.
Straight up. Straight up.
You gotta bring a little love back into Brooklyn. Just under 7 minutes left here to go. Inaugural broadcast, Satellite Sundays. Dustin, BS quote or no?
I think we're going to have our first and probably our only sweep of the BS quote of the week, but obviously I'm going BS. I've hated LeBron since he left for Miami. I think that showed his character. I think, you know, you left home in the first place. What, you're going to go there, you're going to pimp yourself out, win championships, come back, and then expect everything to be okay? That's like cheating on your girlfriend, breaking up with her, hanging out with a new girl in the mall, having everybody see you, breaking up with that girl, going back to your other girlfriend and say, it just wasn't the same without you. Get the hell out of here, dude. Mm. You're a scumbag. I hate how players dictate everything nowadays. BS, and also I'm going to give him DB, douchebag of the week.
Beautiful, beautiful. Alanis, look up douchebag for us. What does that mean? No,
listen,
the next segment, like it or meh, right?
Yeah, like it, love it, or meh. is my point. Like, that's what everybody says. That's what all the kids are saying nowadays, especially Arlanis. Meh. When you're not sold on anything, you're just like, meh, M-E-H. So we wanted to talk, like it, love it, or meh, the Star Wars movie. All right? Everybody take 30 seconds and give us like it, love it, or meh. Arlanis, Star Wars movies, what do you think?
I like them.
All of them, or
well,
just
I
the new ones?
The old ones are good.
Okay, cool. The old ones are the best, obviously. Jason, what about you?
I love 4, 5, 6, and I love 7. The first three, which is the prequels, those are blah.
Those are no mas, right? No mas. What about you, Dustin?
Well, I agree with him. Obviously, I grew up on 4, 5, 6. I grew up on them in my grandfather's house on video cassettes because that was how he used to roll. He used to record the stuff off TV, and he would stop the recorder he would stop the recording VCR on commercial breaks. So I was one of the first and only guys to get on-demand movies with no commercial breaks when I was a kid. So I used to sit at his house, and he had a whole collection of all the different movies and labels, and he even had a glossary printed out on a clipboard, and I knew if I wanted to watch Star Wars, A New Hope, that was under G12, and I went to shelf G, and 12 over, there it was. That's how organized my grandfather was.
That is some serious organization.
I grew up on 4, 5, 6, and a friend of mine forced me to watch 3 and told me you'll like it because you get to see how Darth Vader turns into Darth Vader. Coolest part of the movie was definitely when the mask went on for the first time and you heard the thing kick in. So I liked 3. I will never, ever, ever put myself through the torture of watching 1 and 2 ever again. And I haven't seen the newest one. So I'm like, and meh, kind of all blended into one. What about you, Chris?
Real quick, I liked the graphics and the action-packed new one. I liked how they made it an awesome, animatronics on it. But I think it was just rehashing of number 4. I think it was just the same plot over again, sort of a lazy rehashing of the first plot, just to open up the door for the next two that are going to come out. And to me, there was nothing new that happened. I mean, Kylo Ren is Darth Vader. It's just wasn't unique and original. And the last thing we got here is sort of our iTunes trend of the week, the song of the week. And Dustin, this is your favorite artist. I know you bobbed him in your car, but
listen,
it's the number one song right now.
It's not my favorite artist. It's not my favorite artist as much as I appreciate what the guy does. But before we get to that, I got another comment from Jester. Jester says LeBron is complete BS. What isn't BS is my coming to OTS and then February 1st with an amazing story. It was BS because there isn't a superstar in any sport that doesn't have ownership's ears. So, I mean, people, keep your eyes open. Fantasy Jester's coming. He's gonna blow the doors off the place. He's one of the number one analysts, if not the number one analyst in all of fantasy sports. The guy's got trophies after trophies. So when he says stuff, it's not just him blowing smoke. But I want to take it out. We got 2 minutes left. We're going to end it every show, every week, with the trending song of the week. Here it is. Thank you for joining us on Satellite Sundays. And visit us at theotsnn.com. Look up our Satellite Sundays. We got a crazy website that's about to get just completely, completely blown up, and it's going to be awesome. So stick with us. We're pumped that you came and you listened to us, and have a good one.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name. You think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well, I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own, cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. When you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong, and tried to make me forget where I came from. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want any.